CBS News Brief. Attorney General Pam Bondi says the Trump administration is suing Maine's education department for ignoring a push to ban trans athletes in girls' sports.
The state of Maine is discriminating against women by failing to protect women in women's sports. Pretty basic stuff.
Congressional Republicans getting hit with tough questions about the administration at town hall meetings back home. Iowa's Chuck Grassley taken to task over the mistaken deportation of a Maryland man.
Do your job, Senator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes,
Trump obeyed the Supreme Court. Trump's not obeying the Supreme Court. He just ignores them.
Yeah.
The retail sales jumped 1.4% last month as Americans rushed to buy big ticket items like foreign cars ahead of new tariffs. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger doesn't believe that spending trend, though, will continue.
Right now, consumer sentiment is at worse levels than it was during the financial crisis of 2008.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Madison City Clerk has resigned months after nearly 200 ballots went uncounted in November, and as an investigation into the errors continue, Savannah Tolme Olson has followed the story from the beginning.
Mary Beth Witzel Bell has been at her post for almost 20 years. She's been at the center of the uncounted ballots case when 193 absentee ballots were found after the November election. The mayor's office said Witzel Bell didn't notify anybody about it until weeks later. The city opened its own investigation, as did the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The commission has the power to determine that the clerk acted improperly or even illegally. And the next part of their investigation would likely include asking people to sit for depositions, including Witzel Bell. And then last month, she was placed on paid administrative leave. In a statement from Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway, she thanked Witzel Bell for her service. Madison City Attorney Michael Haas has been acting as interim city clerk.
It's the season for tornadoes, running from April to August. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us how they form.
A tornado is a violently rotating column of air extending from the bottom of a thunderstorm down to the ground. They can completely destroy well-made buildings, uproot trees, and hurl things through the air, turning them into deadly missiles. A tornado can touch down during the day and at night. But they do need three specific things to form. The fuel, which is the heat and humidity. A spark, which lifts the warm air up, usually from a cold front. And the last thing needed is a spin in the sky. For example, if you put a pen between your hands and roll it, one hand moved faster than the other to make that happen. This is what the winds need to be doing at different levels or directions. And all of those must happen for the perfect tornadic environment. And when they align, it happens fast. Twisters can also lift up and drop down again, creating gaps in their path and sparing one house over the other.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers blank the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Tigers last night 5-0, snapping a three-game losing streak for Milwaukee. Brewers starter Quinn Priestert asked if he knew he had a no-hitter going into the sixth inning.
Yeah, but I also was kind of aware that the pitch count was up there and likely was going to have to turn the ball over, and fortunately didn't turn the ball over with the zero on the hit column still. Jared came in, dominated, got, you know, saved me that run and saved us that run, and the bullpen just shut it down.
College football, Wisconsin Badgers need a new starting left tackle. Luke Fickell announcing that Kevin Haywood suffered a torn ACL during the team's spring practices last Thursday. He'll be out for the season. NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard is back on the court after missing the past month with a blood clot in his right calf muscle. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
It's just really skeleton stuff. No contact. He can exert himself more, which is good.
The Bucks face the Pacers Saturday in round one of the playoffs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny, seasonal, calm, and comfortable today, with high temperatures making it to the mid-50s. We start to get a little breezy tonight with a few more clouds filtering in, and tomorrow, windier and warmer. High temperatures cap 60 degrees with showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 39.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
New texter on our text line said this: I think any other president would take these protests very seriously, but our current one couldn't care less. Anybody remember, you know, Nero fiddling while Rome burned? You get a little of that vibe here? The man's off golfing over the weekend as the world economy is lit on fire and nosediving. Can't be bothered.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit outdoorstewards.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from Miller's Crossing, Goodfellas, and Dumb and Dumber actor Mike Starr. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller drops by to discuss the Milwaukee Film Festival. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Kelly Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have many, many things coming up for you on the show today. In hour number two, Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau will be joining us to talk about the latest scams on which we should be updated. I just got another call from the Western Union. This has been happening like every 3 days lately. So I think we'll bring that up with Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau. If you have been pestered by something recently that you think is a scam, you can always let us know. Again, text it in at 855-752-4842. We will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Governor Gunslinger edition, so stick around for that. Right now, though, we are delighted to have joining us live Representative Mark Pocan. Good morning, sir. Thanks for making time for us today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me. Ask your consumer person something, if you would, please.
Sure.
I noticed a huge uptick on fake emails about my Social Security account ever since DOGE started messing around with our data. And I think that people have gotten very wise to trying to rip people off, because a lot of people tell me they're constantly checking their statement to make sure that nothing's happened to
sure.
it, because they don't trust these folks at DOGE. But I think that's made the number of people trying to rip people off increase. So for your listeners, that might be useful.
That's an excellent point, Representative. We will absolutely bring that up next hour with Lisa Schiller. Wanted to start off, there's a lot of things to talk about going on in Washington, but I wanted to start off with the tariffs. Depending upon who you talk, who you speak to, it's either the greatest thing in the world and the most brilliant thing America has ever done, or this is a disaster. And I was very surprised to see this comment from the president of the MMAC, Dale Coyne, who was a longtime Republican in Wisconsin until and then took over at the MMAC. He calls the tariffs, quote, one of the largest tax increases in U.S. history, unquote. It's kind of interesting how once you get away from the inner workings of the party that, I don't know, you can say true things.
Yeah. So unless you're a big fan of videos of monkeys throwing dung, there's no reason to really like the tariffs, because Trump's tariffs are a tax on all of us when they're done in this indiscriminate way. Now, I'm going to be real clear. I support targeted use of tariffs. If you're dumping cheap steel from China, we need to support our steel industry and the workers here. We should put a tariff on it. And there's other things that we should, especially with China, use strategic tariffs. But strategic use of tariffs is smart, throwing dung is not. And what they're doing right now is the equivalent of throwing monkey dung by putting tariffs on absolutely everything without, you know, any thought whatsoever. You know, it's, again, it's a concept of a plan, not a plan. And at that point, it becomes a tax on all of us. So I rarely say I completely agree with the head of the MMAC.
Right.
But, you know, it's true. It really does. It adds costs for the average person, and for a small business owner, it's really volatile, because then you don't know what to charge. I mean, I can tell you, we have a small business still, and I don't do anything day to day there. But, you know, different contacts that you get, you don't know where a tariff's coming or not. Oh, now they're postponed. And if you don't have that kind of consistency, it's really hard to do your day-to-day business sometimes. So there's a lot of problems with the way tariffs are being handled right now.
I think that's something that, you know, what you just said now here, we're looking at, like, whether you're talking about tariffs or you're talking about DOGE or you're talking about immigration, they're all great ideas when you walk in the door and say, we want to take a look at overspending. We want to take a look at tariffs. We want to take a look at our immigration problem. Then set up panels, talk to people, have long-term planning, execute those plans over years, maybe. And if you have the luxury of having a second term, I mean, he won't hopefully have a third term, but that's not the case here. We don't, people were trying to share videos of President Clinton. He fired 377,000 people. Well, they were let go over a 6-year study that took in all these accounts of what's going on. That's what we could do, but we're not. He just comes in with a literal chainsaw and says, this is what we're doing, and we're doing it now. Get on board, or you are un-American.
Yeah, I mean, I could make a good argument for using some targeted tariffs, that we could figure out how to do that. Although, honestly, trade policy is better than just throwing tariffs out there. It's better to have it, you know, so everyone knows the rules and it's consistent. But by not doing that and not really having a plan, and then putting tariffs on countries that don't have people, and, you know, all of this stuff, it becomes, you know, who can actually think what we're doing is policy, right? It's not. It's just Donald Trump's whims. And the problem is, you know, we saw what happened and is happening to the stock market because of those whims. I just heard, I was listening to BBC a little bit this morning, and they were talking in a business program about how really it's the U.S. market that's off. Everyone else is kind of going, oh, yeah, there is that crazy guy again. But they're still trading pretty well. But we're just hurting the people of the United States right now because of what's happening. And, you know, that's supposedly the opposite of what Donald Trump wants to do. But, you know, you never know. I think the other thing is, last week when he said, OK, buy stocks now. And then he put the 90-day pause on, like, you know, this is corruption. We see corruption right and left in this administration. But when you signal for all those same rich people that can afford to belong to Mar-a-Lago or can get this tax break that they've been, you know, it's their holy grail for the year. This is also like a signal to them to make money. And, you know, we need a president that's fighting for us, not just a few people.
Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has said, because she has admitted that she made a whole bunch of money when that happened, but she's not involved in it at all. Her traders do those things. Of course, not that anyone would tell the traders that this might be coming, which would give you a little heads up about that. What is the likelihood that there will be any kind of legislation cracking down on insider trading within Congress?
There already is legislation. I'm a sponsor of what we've had in past sessions as well, because I get inside information, bluntly, from companies in district, from sitting in classified briefings, from having the experts in the world, but especially in the country, coming and talking to me. So I shouldn't be able to buy stock like everybody else. That is inside information. So there's legislation introduced, and Hakeem Jeffries just said he supports it, given what we just saw. The problem is, do you think that Mike Johnson is going to say, you know, it's the right thing to do?
Right.
No, I just don't expect that to happen. So all the rich members of Congress that buy their own stocks in trades are still going to make a lot of money off this. And we're going to continue to lose respect for the institution because of it. But until we have a change in who's in charge, no.
Well, and unfortunately, forgive me, but I do think it's important to point out that this is a problem on both sides of the aisle, as far as members of Congress getting really, really wealthy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, half of my colleagues are millionaires. I'm not. You know, the
you got to try harder.
Yeah.
I know. I just got to buy some stock, I guess. You know, so much better off. But, you know, that's the problem, is a lot of people, you know, congressional salary is like spending money, not like income, not like a job. And, you know, when they don't have to live in the same way as our constituents do, you know, then you're not making decisions in the same way. You're making decisions with a certain class of folks that you hang around with that do stock trades and things, you know, like right. The rest of us probably, you know, fill our tanks and gas. They're doing these other things. And that's part of the problem with the way Congress is made up.
If you're just joining us, Representative Mark Pocan is our guest, taking time out to give us a half an hour to kick things around because there's a lot of things going on in Washington. Representative, I want to go back to something you talked. You mentioned small businesses, and we know that small businesses really are a major driver of the economy, and certainly the attention that Governor Evers gave to small businesses during COVID really helped Wisconsin weather that storm. And these tariffs in particular have got to be crushing, just crushing for our small businesses in Wisconsin. What are you hearing from folks?
Well, let me just use one sector just to give you an example, and that's agriculture, right? Our number one trading partner, if you're a bigger farm, and you don't have to be a big farm, but a bigger farm, and you're trading overseas. I mean, your number one trading partner is Canada, number two is Mexico, number three is China. Those were the first three countries that got tariffs, right? So already you're disrupting that level of agriculture. Then if you're a small farmer, or like the guest I brought to the State of the Union, who's got a CSA and about 100 families buy their vegetables and dairy from him, the milk bottles that he puts the milk in for them, the raw product comes from the U.S., goes to Canada, they're made in Canada, they come back to the U.S., they're going to get tariffed twice on the way there for the raw product and on the way back, and the price of milk bottles is going to double. Well, that means we all pay more for milk from a farmer like that because of tariffs. So, you know, just a market like that alone is hugely impacted. But, you know, what small business can you walk into anywhere in the United States where there's probably not, you know, a large number of products that are made in China or some other country. And, you know, if you can't guess where the tariffs are today because it's a constant roulette wheel of the daily tariff levels, then how do you know what to charge? Sometimes you'll absorb some of those losses, but only for so long. Sometimes you're going to raise prices, but then you don't want to raise prices if 3 days later or 2 days later, Donald Trump's going to lift them. At the end of the day, if you want to make things in the U.S. and I want to make things in the U.S., you need industrial policy to make companies make things here again. And the only way you're going to do that is by helping, you know, those companies to do that. But it's not going to happen in a week or two to do that. You know, it's often years to build up that production to do actually in the United States. So, you know, there's a, like a broken clock is right twice a day. Donald Trump, I guess, can be right twice a day. But just he's doing it in a completely wrong way.
Well, and there's even questions about the mathematical formula they used to decide what level of tariffs they were going to institute on certain countries. I would feel better if they had used something from Schoolhouse Rock. At least I would know that that was based in some form of reality.
Look, do you trust the guy on numbers who thinks he weighs 224 pounds? Right? I am just not trusting this guy on numbers. Period.
Representative Mark Pocan is our guest. When we return, we're going to talk about Mr. Garcia, who is still, we assume, alive in a Salvadoran prison. And so far, the Trump administration seems to be just ignoring the ruling of the Supreme Court. We'll continue our conversation with Mark Pocan on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Grown Radio, WFHR.
Ow! Sweetie, come here. Don't worry. I see a lot of patients with the exact same thing.
Ever since the ice skating rink went in next door?
Or is it more than
Dr. Clark's business is heating up.
So many patients need my help. How will I find time to see all of them?
They need to hire a scheduler, stat.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Given the concerns about tariffs, inflation, and the economy, we may see some instability in the financial markets. As an investor, how can you cope? Your best strategy can be summed up in one word: diversification. It can't guarantee profits or prevent all losses, but it can help you manage risk and market fluctuations. Here's why. Different types of financial assets can move in different directions at any given time, so stocks may be up while bonds are down, or vice versa. If you owned both of these types of assets, and others besides, your portfolio would likely fare better than if you only owned one type of asset and that asset was affected by a market downturn. How you diversify your portfolio will depend on your own risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. But however you do it, diversification should always be a driving force behind your investment strategy.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones financial advisor in Wisconsin Rapids. Contact him at 715-421-0958.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Representative Mark Pocan is our guest, talking about some of the many, many goings on in Washington. Representative, we did want to ask you about the case of Kilmer Abrego Garcia. The Trump administration maintains that he is a member of a gang, and therefore they were justified in sending him to this prison in El Salvador. The Supreme Court essentially said, you need to bring him back. You need to facilitate bringing him back. And yet the Trump administration maintains they can't do that. He's in El Salvador, a sovereign country. The president of El Salvador was in the Oval Office this week saying, yeah, no, we're not bringing him back. What's next?
Yeah, well, I think we've been waiting to see what challenges Trump is going to do to various court orders. The good news is, and it is good news, we've had over 60 positive adjudications out of courts, over 45 different judges, including Trump-appointed judges, against things he's been doing. So we're doing pretty well with the rule of law, including this decision by the Supreme Court. The question is, at what point, when you can't appeal it or do anything else, what happens if he doesn't comply? And right now, it seems to be a debate over the word facilitate, which is idiotic. But, you know, if he can do this with someone who didn't do anything wrong, and this was an anonymous tip about this person, which no one else has said is true, that this person is a gang member. So, you know, Trump is just trying to save egg from his face. And I think he's afraid that other people could be challenged if he loses this challenge. Yes. So he just wants to stay awful, right, is what he's doing. But I think, you know, right now, Chris Van Hollen, senator from Maryland, who used to be the head of the budget committee in the House when I first got to Congress, one of the best and smartest members, truly, of the Senate, just landed this morning, excuse me, in El Salvador to try to get more information and figure out what's happening. So I'm hoping, I mean, at some point, you know, as the legal challenges happen on this, we'll see where we get with Donald Trump. But the fact that they're so awful that they won't return someone they admit was by, man, you know, at what point, this is not a government for the people and by the people. This is a government run by a tyrant, a wannabe king, and we've got to stand up to this guy more.
And what does it say about two world leaders who, they? I mean, it would be one thing if either president said, I won't do it. But they're both saying, I don't have the power. Well, what power do you have then? What can you do? You could have put the man on the plane when the president came to from El Salvador to America. I'm sure there was room.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello had conversations like this, right? Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know. Who's on third? Like, you know, I wish I remembered as a kid. I remembered the whole layout of that. But, you know, that's what they're kind of doing right now. But it's going to be, where does the legal challenge stop and what happens when you don't follow a legal challenge? This may be the first high-profile one. The good news, and again, I like to share good news. I did my podcast with Liberty and Justice for Some last Friday with Josh Call. We'll play it soon. And one of the things he made a point of, and I thought was really interesting, was he said, you know, and by and large, they're following the court orders. When the court says you got to do something differently, the Trump administration is following it. So the rule of law is working. And, you know, I'm not a lawyer and I've never been maybe the biggest fan of the legal, you know, lawyers in general. But right now they're saving us. It's litigation and communication that's working for us. So this just may be one of the highest profile challenges. But by and large, we are winning when it comes to court orders.
And I do want to clarify something, Representative, because we are accused of you're supporting gang members and you want to allow gang members to run free. The whole point of this case with Mr. Garcia is due process. And if they don't have to do due process with this man, why should they have to do it with anyone, including American citizens? There is a really chilling article in The Bulwark that we will include in our show notes talking about, now I'm afraid to leave my own country because I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to get back in.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, if they can go after here, what next? You know, we know he's got a lot of populations he's targeted. He has an enemies list. And then, you know, what else can he do to folks without due process? And that's what we are as a nation of laws, right? So that is important. But also think about it. Anyone that you want to, you know, try to get in trouble, you can just say that they're a gang member or whatever, anonymous tip. And if they can be disposed of, sent out of the United States,
disappeared.
I mean, how chilling, is that to have as some kind of a template for future action?
Absolutely. Representative Mark Pocan is our guest. Let's talk town halls. It seems like some of our elected officials are holding town halls and others not so much.
Yeah, well, I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene just did one and they tased one of the protesters outside. I'll leave that to just everyone hearing that. But I'm doing a town hall tonight in Monroe in Greene County in my district. And then next Tuesday, I'm doing one in Derek Van Orden's district in La Crosse at 5 p.m. because we want to make sure that we're doing, you know, town halls where members aren't listening. And Derek Van Orden has never done an open public town hall in over almost now 2.5 years. So I'm going to, again, try to show him how to do it. He's invited. I'd love to do it with him. But if he's not going to come, I'll be glad to pick up the slack.
We also had a question from Andrew on the text line who said, please have Representative Pocan tell us, what is the best way to get our politicians to listen to us?
Yeah, I mean, don't let them get away with being cowards, right? That's what Derek Van Orden's doing right now. He's hiding in his basement instead of having public town halls. Actually, to be fair, I think he's on an international codel right now to Greece. Tough gig. A lot of Republicans, there was a reporter actually going around asking, a lot of Republicans are doing international codels during this in-district period because they're afraid of their constituents, which I find amazing.
Seriously.
Right? They found ways to leave the country rather than go home. But, you know, if they're having meetings at chamber, then be outside there and make it a town hall. Whatever they're doing, make them have to have a town hall and invite the press, because the press is rightfully so upset if you're not going to have accountability. Every town hall I've done in Derek's district, we've had great media turnout for that very reason. So don't let them get away with being chicken. Don't let them get away with not listening to you. Our job is to represent people's values in Washington and explain Washington back home.
You can always find the applicable phone numbers at myvote@wi.gov. MyVote@wi.gov. Check it out. Make a call. Let them know you're watching. Representative Mark Pocan, thank you so very much for your time, sir. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks as always. Thanks so much.
Take care. News coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin sits on two Great Lakes, which lends itself perfectly to the shipbuilding industry. Lisa Hill reports on efforts to rebuild domestic shipbuilding.
Marinette, Sturgeon Bay, Manitowoc, Milwaukee, Green Bay, all cities involved in commercial and military shipbuilding. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin wants to ensure that our nation's shipbuilding industry remains strong and vibrant. Baldwin has introduced Buy America and Made in America requirements into the defense bill.
By the way, you know, we know about the big shipyards in Wisconsin, but there are hundreds of and upon hundreds of small businesses that supply certain components for those ships.
She added military vessels aren't the only ones to be concerned with. Baldwin said not so many decades ago, the U.S. dominated shipbuilding. That's no longer the case.
I think in the last year for which there are records, we built in the United States 5 commercial ships, and China built 1,700. So hopefully that sunk in. We have gone from being dominant in commercial shipbuilding to having our lunch eaten by China.
Baldwin added that she will be happy to work with President Donald Trump in efforts to resurrect the U.S. shipbuilding industry. Early in his current administration, the president said he was committed to that objective. Last week, Trump directed the Department of Defense to explore actions that could bring commercial shipbuilding back to the United States. She said one of the actions might be docking fees for Chinese vessels.
But he's set in motion the work that the administration has to do to see that through. And that's one where I'll work really closely with him. And
Baldwin made her comments during a virtual town hall meeting for her constituents in Northeast Wisconsin earlier this month. I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Yesterday in the Hollywood Beats, I reported that White Lotus season 3 star Amy Lou Wood was hurt by the portrayal of her character during a sketch on Saturday Night Live last weekend. She called the portrayal mean and unfunny. Wood took to Instagram to clarify that she was not upset with Sarah Sherman, the actress who played her in the sketch. She also said Saturday Night Live reached out to her and apologized privately. Katy Perry was in space for 8 minutes aboard a spacecraft sponsored by tech company Blue Origin. The spacecraft crossed the outer space barrier for a few minutes before coming back down to Earth. One of Perry's space mates, Gail King, said Perry sang What a Wonderful World as they floated along. Blue Origin is owned by Jeff Bezos, whose wife, Lauren Sanchez, was also on board the flight. This marks the first time in history 6 women have gone into space on a mission that achieved almost nothing while wearing bell bottoms. Money well spent. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Sunny, seasonal, calm, and comfortable today, with high temperatures making it to the mid-50s. We start to get a little breezy tonight with a few more clouds filtering in, and tomorrow, windier and warmer. High temperatures cap 60 degrees with showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll discuss a new way to vote along with our friend Trigby Olson and Tara Ariano with Best New TV Shows. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
this fight, I'm on my way. I've seen all good people turn their heads each day. So
good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have been mentioning this here and there, but I think it's important to remind folks. Next week.
Yeah.
One week from today. April 23rd.
Darn right.
Things are going to be sliding around a little bit here on the network. Things are going to be changing just a little bit. The lineup is going to be changing across Civic Media next Wednesday. From 5 to 6, we'll have the Midwest Farm Report with the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke.
Love her.
I do, too. 6 to 9, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Greg and I and Calvin, we will be moving up an hour from 9 to 11 a.m.
Yep.
Then Tom Hartman takes over from 11 to 2. Our friend and colleagues, Todd Alba from 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6. Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8 p.m. Earl Ingram, host of the Earl Ingram Show, is staying with the network.
Yes.
And he's going to be doing special reporting. Mm-hmm. He's going to be doing in-depth reporting.
Yes.
He will be a regular guest on numerous shows across the network. Also, local shows, John and Gordy in Madison on WMDX, and Mano and the Mayor on WGBW in Green Bay will also still be there. So yeah. That is not changing. But just some other changes. A lot of the network hosts, those shows are slipping around a little bit. Just to give you a heads up.
Yeah.
So you're not surprised next week. And if you can't listen because you have a life and you have things and you have work and kids and parents and groceries and all those things, if you cannot listen live, you can always listen to it as a podcast if you want to catch up with the show.
Yep. Go to civicmedia.us, go to shows, and you can download the shows. We have two episodes per day for the show, one per hour, or you can also add in a sprinkle of This Shouldn't Be a Thing as well. Which
if you want a little lighter thing.
As its own little mini-sode. And also, if you don't want to do that as far as like going to the website every day, you can go to your podcast distribution center of choice, subscribe to the show as a podcast, and then it'll get automatically delivered to your show twice a day. And
poof, boom, just like that.
It's there. By the end of lunch, we're in your phone.
That may be good or bad, depending upon how you feel about the show. But
actually, by lunch next week, by lunchtime, you'll have us ready in your phone.
All ready to go.
Yeah.
So you can listen at lunch anyway. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. What's up?
Well, I'm just calling because the 6 to 9 slot here in the Green Bay market is Mino and the Mayor. Is that staying?
That is staying.
Or
is
yes.
Going to become-
that is oh, staying.
Yes. Okay.
Is that it?
Yep.
Yep, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on the lineup, let us know.
855-752-4842. You can also shoot us an email at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. We got a really nice email from Greg yesterday who mentioned that he worked in early morning television for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And he said, I am willing to get up an hour earlier just to listen to the show.
You know what? His name is Greg. Great name, Greg.
That is a huge sacrifice. We really appreciate that.
Yeah. I won't get up early for certain things either. It's like, but you're a mensch. You're a good man, Greg.
You are a mensch. We really appreciate it. We were talking to Mark Pocan.
Yeah.
Before we went to the news, and he is having a town hall tonight, and we'll be having another one. And that kind of got us onto the subject of who is doing them and who is not. Town halls, good for thee, but not for me. One of them would be Wisconsin's own Tom Tiffany.
Oh, the man who really wants to get us a national park.
And apparently wants to be governor. That's kind of in the background. He hasn't officially announced that, at least not anywhere that I have seen. But I've seen some scuttlebutt that Tom Tiffany would like to... There's been chatter that he would like to be governor. This from WSAW-TV. We want a town hall with Tom Tiffany as people picket outside. This is... Yeah. Dozens of people last month lined up outside Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany's office in Wausau. Tiffany has not held a public town hall or a listening session since the end of January. He did, though, make time to attend a private event in Wausau.
They love their private events.
They do like the private events because I would assume, I have never been to one of these, but I'm assuming that there are some requests for money at these private events.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the dinner that Derek Van Orden did, it was a Lincoln dinner, I believe. They always have their Lincoln dinner. It was like,
I think it was
40 or 50 bucks to get in to see sweet, sweet Derek Van Orden speak about or yell at you, depending on where he is
that day. Tom Tiffany didn't have time, doesn't have time to meet with his constituents, not his regular constituents anyway. I'm sure it's probably different if you're a donor.
Absolutely.
That might be a little bit different, but he does have time, much like Ron Johnson, to make a stop by Fox News. Calvin, let's play this little clip from Wisconsin's own Tom Tiffany talking about how wonderful is the world of Doge.
You know, the Department of Government Efficiency has identified plenty of savings. There is plenty of room to find the savings out there, as has been identified over the last couple months. And that's part of the reason in the polling that you're showing there, Maria, it shows, what is it? Almost two-thirds of Americans are saying we can reduce spending. They've seen the news stories about Doge and what they are doing. There's plenty of room to get those savings.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
There are savings to be found. Not with a chainsaw, which is the way that they're doing it now. That is not, at least in my estimation, the most efficient way to achieve their goals.
And don't forget that savings that's going to come the government's way, quote unquote, will be passed along to multimillionaires and billionaires. Not you. Unless loyal listeners, you are a multimillionaire or billionaire. If so, can I have some money? But they'll be sent to the richest people, not us, not the middle class, not the working class, not the working poor. No one who can't give hundreds of thousands of dollars to a sitting congressperson or senator.
I almost feel like we should have a different name for the different their constituencies.
Yeah.
The ones who donate and the rest of us.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, it's still the donating 1%. They'll be fine.
Yes, they're going to be just fine.
They're third and fourth and sixth boat, safe.
It's all good.
Good.
It's all good. Speaking of town halls, Indivisible TOSA has invited Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson to attend a town hall meeting that is happening tonight. It's going to be a Denizen MKE. That's on 42nd and Valete in Milwaukee. This is open to the public. It starts tonight at 6:30. Again, the town hall meeting with or without, this is from their own press release, their town hall meeting with or without Senator Ron Johnson will be held tonight, 6:30 p.m., Denizen MKE. That's at 4227 West Valete Street in Milwaukee. It's an opportunity. I don't know, take a flat run.
A flat run.
Big cardboard cutout.
Make sure those eyes are blue and empty. Flat run.
855-752-4842. Cindy, you're back from Appleton. Cindy, you were at a town hall last Friday.
Yes, and before I say that, I just want to say, I don't know why they call it the Lincoln dinner, because wasn't Lincoln the one that overturned slavery?
He was.
And aren't these the people trying to return slavery? I don't get that. They don't seem to be connecting the dots. Anyway, I was at the Weedless Town Hall last Friday in the year. And it was pretty well attended, like standing room only.
Great. What were you here?
Wasn't there. Well, we were everything. Education, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, healthcare issues. I mean, just give the gamut, everything. Sure. I mean, everybody's concerned about everything and prices not coming down and tariffs and giving money to the rich. And, of course, there's been talk about him declaring martial law and all these other stupid things. But, you know, like I said, it was a room full of people and a lot of people spoke. And, you know, there's quite a few people that didn't. But for the most part, it was, like I said, it was very well attended. People were angry. And he was, as a cardboard figure,
standing there with one of his fingers in the air. It wasn't the one finger. It was his first finger. But I went up there and I said, Tony, I know what finger you're really giving us.
Yeah.
And so.
Was that the one in DePere?
It was. It was the community center last Friday with Dr. Lyerly and Mark Beyer and Julie Hancock.
She sent us a photo of that event, and she said that they will be releasing audio from that event in the coming days.
Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate it. Alicia on the live stream says, we had veteran after veteran stand up and talk at the Weedless Town Hall. Yeah, I don't think Tony Weed has had held any. Has he had held any public events?
No, of course not. He's being uninvited to dinners. He's not a stable leader as far as, like, reliable. They don't. He's just. He's not a. An apt congressperson, if you ask me. He's a guy who got in who said, I love Trump. And for some people, that's what it meant. And
that was, that was
like,
enough.
And for the people who were like, Doge is doing a great job. They're like, that's my guy. And he's not talking to the people. And it wouldn't be hard to put together an event where you're talking to your people to at least say, I'm out there. But these guys, as you said, they're cowards. They're going to their paid events. They're staying indoors. They're going overseas. And meanwhile, as Cindy put it, people are angry.
And people are hurting.
Yes.
And people are hurting. Tom from L.A. on the live stream also pointing out Bernie Sanders and AOC have been traveling around the country and drawing huge crowds.
Yeah.
In areas where you would not expect, like Idaho and Utah. Big. Thousands of people.
Hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds. In some cases, hundreds of thousands of people. Yeah. It's been something, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, I assume these are not all Democrats who are showing up to these things.
I cannot, it's just like we talked about with Susan Crawford election two weeks ago. My God.
It was only 2 weeks ago.
Only 2 weeks ago. Is that, you know, these, you know, when a politician wins by 10%, that's not all one party. There are people in there who are voting for whatever reason they are. And the message is getting out there. And once again, we want our politicians to stand up for us, the working people, the people who, you know, are doing what we're supposed to do in the American dream and contributing, not just passing over us to say, well, let's just make sure the billionaires can buy an island.
We need to take care of them.
Yeah, they're the ones.
We need to take care of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, if you want to, I don't know, feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Just do a Google search for some of the rallies that AOC and Bernie Sanders have been having around the country. Big, big turnouts and apparently lots of support. And don't forget as well that they are supposed to work for us.
Yeah, we pay them.
So call them. Go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is type in your address, and that's going to bring up all of the contact information you could possibly need, the phone numbers and the addresses and all of those things. And yes, it does make more of a difference if you are actually in their district.
And also just be respectful, be kind.
Please.
You're talking to a 20-something-year-old.
You're talking to an aide.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't deserve to be yelled at. They really don't. All right. Coming up, the legislatures in Wisconsin, unwillingness to part with money, shockingly, does not only affect blue areas of Wisconsin.
No.
I know. It's shocking. We'll kick that around next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
See all good people turn their heads to space.
locally grown radio, WFHR.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WISCaregiver.com gets you started. Choose between two great options. Become a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. Training is free. Plus, earn a $500 bonus. It's easy to start your new career. Learn more at WISCaregiver.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio WFHR.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, Lisa Schiller will be here from the Better Business Bureau, going to talk about the latest scams going around. I want to ask her about one. I'm getting phone calls from Western Union. I'm not quite sure what that's about. Well, I'll check the message before Lisa joins us.
Maybe someone sent you a telegram, ma'am.
I'm sure they sent me a telegram involving cash.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what it is. But as Representative Mark Pocan pointed out, this is also a great opportunity now when we're talking about changes to Social Security and things like that. This is a great, and even the tariffs affecting people's savings and their 401ks, this is a great time for scammers to try and jump in there and take advantage of folks.
Absolutely.
So Lisa Schiller will be joining us after the 11 o'clock news from the Better Business Bureau. If you have a question for Lisa, text it in now at 855-752-4842. Last half hour of the show, as we always do, we try and lighten things up a little bit within a segment we call Audio Sorbet. Wink Martindale, longtime game show host.
Yes.
Has passed away at the age of 91.
I thought he died a while ago.
91, that's really something. Yeah. But that got us talking about our favorite game shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about game shows after 11:30. Your favorite game shows, what do you remember about them, what guests, what hosts, who was the best, who was the worst.
Yeah.
Game shows, your favorite game shows after 11:30. And we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Governor Gunslinger edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, I thought this was interesting when I found it this morning in the Waukesha Freeman from Karen Pilarski with the byline. Waukesha County DA warns cases might not be charged amid prosecutor shortage. Mm. We've talked about this quite a bit over the last year and a half. The fact that the legislature is still sitting on $4 billion, correct?
Oh, yes, yes.
We still have a $4 billion surplus, mm-hmm. money which has already been approved that is still sitting in the Joint Finance Committee. Yeah. But I guess my greater point is this reluctance, this seeming reluctance on behalf on our legislature's part to spend any of this money, mm-hmm. doesn't affect just blue counties in Wisconsin. It affects all of us. And here is the example. Liesl Boise says Waukesha County has always been short on prosecutors who are state employees. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, it did get some funding from the American Rescue Plan. It also got some county monies, which helped cover two positions. These grants carried them through the shortage, but as of last year, they are down 10.6 prosecutors. So ideally, for every 10,000 residents, there should be one prosecutor.
Yeah.
Based on that, Waukesha County should have 41 prosecutors. Right now, they have 16.
And when I read that number, I mean, I can't imagine anything gets done when you're short that many.
And that's what the Waukesha County DA is saying, is there is not enough staff to cover all of the criminal courts, court mm-hmm. commissioners, people to prep trials, charging cases, filing search warrants, all of those things. None of that stuff can get funded. Mm-hmm. Where is that money going to come from? And when we talk about crime in communities and cracking down on crime in communities, that means that we need more than just jails. We need people in our court systems mm-hmm. to help go through this process.
Well, and that just, I mean, that just brings us right back to where you started from, Jane, is that this is a very unfortunate example of the fact that our certain leaders in Madison just choose not to help. They have the resources. Mm-hmm. They're right there. We've built a $4 billion surplus. We have money for PFAS. We have money for education. We have money for a lot of things that are set to be spent. And they're just saying, no, we're not going to do that. Not only that, they don't even give us a reason. They just don't take it up to begin with. They don't bother even putting it on the schedule. It just sits there right now. As we said before, there's still educational upgrades that went into place this past school year.
Mandated programs
paid for it sitting, and the Joint Finance Committee will not release it. This is not a difficult problem to solve, at least in the case of Waukesha. You can give them the funding to make sure, just to make it go smoothly. And this is helping law and order. This is what this exactly. party is all about. They yes. love law and order. They want them to go through the process. Then give people the resources they need to do their jobs.
Boise says she was elected to the position, but in order to do her job, she needs resources like people. Quote, the state is not giving them to me. The state agreed to fund these positions many years ago before I even started. Now they keep saying the budget. What I'm saying is public safety is people's number one priority, not just in Wisconsin, but the entire United States. She's now drafting a letter to the governors and to Wisconsin lawmakers. She says she's met with many of them, trying to help them understand the gravity of the situation. It affects all of us.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who you voted for,
people. It really doesn't. We're kind of all in this together.
Yeah.
We have news coming up next. And when we return, we'll talk to Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone. I'm not so self-assured. And now I find out change my mind, I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me, help me.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll have Joe Zepecki, our weekly state capitol report, and see how the Brewers are doing after playing 3 at home against Detroit.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
It's game day every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers. Thanks to local businesses Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, you can join us 5 to 6 with your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. Covering local sports like no one else.
Clearing it out, and it is almost caught.
We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players and coaches, and you. 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers.
Get out of here!
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen heads to El Salvador about the man mistakenly deported there.
I hope to meet with senior officials in the government, and I hope to have a chance to see Mr. Abrego Garcia to report on his condition.
A federal judge wants him returned. The Trump administration is suing Maine for not complying with its move to ban transgender athletes in girls and women's sports. Education Secretary Linda McMahon.
Compliance with federal civil rights law is a universal prerequisite for receiving federal funding.
A small EV from Kia wins the prestigious World Car of the Year Award. Reporter Jeff Gilbert at the New York Auto Show.
The Kia EV3 is an entry-level electric vehicle heavy on technology. It's arriving in other markets.
It might be a while before it's in the United States. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.